Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Ryland. Today we're going to be focusing on the Jameel Prize for Art, which was established in 2009 as a collaboration between the V&A and Art Jameel International. It awards £25,000 to a contemporary Islamic artist each year. And this year's winner was announced last week as Pakistani artist Ghulam Mohammed. Our Istanbul Bureau Chief Chris Lord is down the wire today to talk us through this year's prize, and we'll even hear from the winner himself. All that to come on the Monocle Arts Review. And joining me down the line now, all the way from Istanbul, is Christopher Lord. Chris, welcome to the show. Now, perhaps to start things off, tell us exactly what the Jameel Prize is.
So this is the fourth edition of the Jameel Prize, which, as you mentioned, started in 2009. And it really awards artists from wherever in the world. They don't have to be from the Middle East itself. But any artist that's using a tradition that we would associate with the Islamic world, a craft tradition usually. So this can be anything from mirror mosaics to miniature painting to, even much more abstract than that. Even people who are, sort of using things that use geometry in their work. Even as simple as that, anything that references those key, somehow in maybe even inexplicable things that we associate with the arts of the Islamic world. So it shows you how broad this can be. Of course, last year's winner was a fashion designer, DJ Kayak, from Turkey. And then this year they've decided to actually launch the prize out of its usual home in the Victorian Albert Museum in London and taken it to here to Istanbul at the Pera Museum.
Good news for Istanbul then, no doubt, especially the art scene over there. But before we get to the winner, let's hear now from Renata Papsch, the general manager of Art Jameel International, who explains how the collaboration with the V&A began and why the winner, Ghulam Mohammed, was appropriate.
Our collaboration from Art Jameel and the Victoria and Albert Museum started with the renovation of the Islamic gallery at the Victoria and Albert Museum. And then this is a huge collection of old Islamic artifacts. And we wanted to bring this a little bit more into the contemporary. And that's why we said, okay, why not, look out for artists who use this Islamic old traditions and design to create something new, something contemporary. And this is what we can see very good in Ghulam's work, because he is like using old books and old scripts, and he makes something completely new out of it, and a new collage where you cannot read, but it gives you a completely contemporary new feeling.
Renata Papsch there. Now, Chris, this is a collaboration between the V&A and Art Jameel, as we said. Perhaps tell us a little bit about more about Art Jameel and specifically what they do.
So Art Jameel is a completely independent but Saudi-based initiative to try and push contemporary art, basically from that have any connections to the Muslim world, essentially. So they sponsor projects here in Istanbul, in the case of the Jameel Prize, but as she mentioned, as Renata mentioned there, they also were very much involved in the renovation of the V&A's Islamic art galleries. They sponsor projects in Dubai, around the world, and also very, very involved with bringing contemporary artists to Saudi Arabia, where their main base is, to try and introduce that country to artists, to try and create collaborations between Saudi-based artists and artists from around the world. So they're very involved in not just in a sort of an art history sense in terms of Islamic art's long and varied history in terms of, craft traditions that are key to this Jameel Prize, but also finding ways that can be interpreted in a very contemporary sense as well.
Chris, tell me a little bit about your thoughts on this international recognition and how that plays out for the artists themselves. I mean, depending on which artistic culture you happen to be in around the world, the concept of being recognised by some sort of prestigious international body can have varying degrees of recognition, can't it? How do you think it goes down for artists over there in Istanbul?
Well, I'd love to give you the example, actually, of Ghulam Mohammed, the winner of the Jameel Prize this year, because he's from Balochistan, a region of Pakistan that's really still very much a tribal area, one of the tribal areas of the country. So very disconnected from those main artistic hubs like Lahore and Karachi. And Ghulam was kind of working on his own for a long time, making these incredible paper collages, which are extremely detailed. And what he does is he finds these very old books from his region, written in a language that's basically dying. It's one of the regional dialects there in Pakistan. And he collects these huge books and very, very carefully cuts out the words contained within. And then he builds from these little tiny pieces of paper, these incredible collages in his work, layering these cut out words over and over the top of each other. So you get this sort of almost like a calligraphied effect, which is pure collage, but it has this almost calligraphy effect, creating like a three-dimensional object out of these words. And now what's interesting in his case in terms of recognition is that, you know, his route to the Jameel Prize, he was literally happened to get a scholarship to Lahore. And then when he got to Lahore, he then, someone, you know, spotted this great talent there and recommended him for this prize. So really, this is the Jameel Prize at its best, when it finds somebody who really was sort of, you know, not in the art world per se, wasn't doing exhibitions in online, like some of the artists here in places like MoMA and so on. He was actually very much working in isolation, and here they've pulled out somebody who isn't necessarily working in a traditional Islamic craft yet. Somehow we can find in it some trace that we can certainly say comes from the region. So I think this is a really good example of when a prize works well, because it's actually revealing this talent that lots of people otherwise wouldn't have been able to see.
Such a nice story there. Now, Chris, of course, you met the winner, Ghulam Mohammed, shortly after he was awarded the Jameel Prize last week. Let's have a little bit of a listen to that.
This is ancient papermaking technique which we use in our continent. There are multiple layers of paper. For me, my work process is most important, because when you are in process, you do such a thing that your conversation is with your work. Sometimes we think about composition, we make sketches, but when we start that work, he tells you, okay, do it like this. I'm not good with air conditioner, because my area, which where I belong from, in Baluchistan, Kachi, it's a very hot city area. So when I come in air conditioner room, so I feel a headache. And of course, this is very, very sensitive work. These are small, tiny, tiny words. So I don't use fan as well. So I close my whole windows and I start working with this collage, tiny text.
So it's very hot work for a start, I imagine.
Yes, it's hard work plus it is time-taking work.
Well, your journey to the Jameel Prize here, how did this begin? Where did you start exhibiting, and how did you get found by the Jameel Prize, essentially?
For me, it is a miracle, because when I was in village, I didn't knew I can go and study fine arts in Lahore. So I traveled Lahore and I got, by chance, by luckily, a scholarship, because I couldn't afford that education system. I have done my graduation from Beacon House National University, which is private, and by chance, by luck, there was a scholarship of South Asian Foundation. So I luckily got scholarship from them, 100% scholarship. So miraculously, so I did my graduation from BNU in 2013. So being nominated nominee for this big award, like Jameel Prize, it was great pleasure for me. I was so happy with that I am selected for this award. So I came here and I met a whole great artist. I was so happy. I didn't knew I will get this prize. So it was quite shocking for me.
Hot work and hard work indeed. Ghulam Mohammed there, the winner of this year's Jameel Prize. Chris, he was mentioning, and you were mentioning, of course, as well, that he does use a lot of traditional Islamic methods in his art. What do you think about his art then makes it contemporary?
Well, I think in one sense, he's taking this Dayan language from his region and he's making it physical again. So in a sense that these languages only really exist in books now. They're almost dying from people's tongues because they're being surpassed by other languages and so on. And so actually by layering all this paper on top of it, you know, meticulously building these structures using paper, using these words themselves, he's actually making them three-dimensional and also somehow making them robust again, making them live as a artwork, as something contained within the page.
Fascinating stuff, Chris. Now let's move on to then some of the other entrants that are in the contest as well. Tell me about some of the others that have stuck out to you.
One of the things I always have loved about this prize is that it's not just narrowed to people from or living in the Middle East. And so here you have some really great examples of that. One of them being David Chalmers Aylesworth, who's a British artist. And he worked for over two decades, in fact, in Pakistan as a kind of a landscape designer and sort of investigating and researching the gardens over there in Pakistan, as well as creating his own contemporary work. And he's made these fascinating pieces of work where he's sort of embroidering directly into these very old, very used Persian carpets, creating these maps, actually sort of working them into the fabric of the carpet, very roughly done. They're really, really interesting works. And so, you know, you kind of get this feeling that it's not even just about a sort of geographical region, but almost kind of more of a very process-driven that they're interested in here.
Now, just having a look at some of the other people who are on the list, it's clearly aiming to be quite international in its approach. Do you think that's quite important to how the Jameel Prize really sees itself?
I mean, if I had to give one critique, really, of looking at this lineup and walking around that exhibition, I feel that, you know, the Jameel Prize is at its best when we're meeting people like Ghulam Mohammed, for instance, the winner, because, you know, he was really working in isolation for so long, and really, this is given an opportunity for him to be seen internationally. But then, in amongst this show, of course, they weren't the winners, but they were exhibited alongside. We have very, very important artists who are very recognised. People like Wael Shawky, for instance, who's had shows at MoMA PS1 not so long ago, or Shahpour Puyan, who's an Iranian artist who's had sort of solo exhibitions around the world. I would love to see this more hone in on those untold stories a little bit. People like Ghulam, people a bit as well like David Chalmers Aylesworth, people who've been sort of a little bit outside the art world, maybe, and maybe not quite the same spotlight on them as some of the big guys here. But that all said, of course, you know, it's great to see this travel here. I mean, I think for Istanbul, it's great to put it here. It's the V&A reaching out to the city a bit as well in this sense, and positioning now an exhibition of international work very much here in the heart of the city.
Now, obviously, the story behind Ghulam Mohammed is quite enchanting as well. The fact that he has come from the background that he's come from, and then has achieved so much in the art world. What role do you think that the backstory behind an artist plays when we're looking at the list of entrants in a prize like this one? Is it possible to go in there with a completely open mind and assess the artworks purely based on their merits, free of the weight of knowing who's behind them?
I think that's an interesting question. I mean, I think these works here very much do speak for themselves. I mean, you know, visually this is very strong. All of the works here are very, extremely strong visually. And not actually just visually as well. There's sound pieces in here. There's film pieces in here. In terms of sort of the background of the artist, I think this is why I find the case of someone like Ghulam very interesting as a winner here, because we do approach it with completely fresh eyes. We've maybe never seen him before in exhibition, certainly not in a sort of museum context. And so I think to sort of have that clear in slate to make that prize, if it was looking towards the future, one of the things that it's revealed over the course of its history is that when it finds those people who are a little bit on the outside of things and zones in on them, we get a much more fresh attitude to what we mean by, you know, this idea of following craft traditions in a contemporary sense. You know, we're looking at people who are a little bit outside the art world of this moment, maybe, and are maybe sort of dialoguing with things that we don't know about. We're being told new things as a result. So I think it's great to see new work here, to see fresh ideas here, newcomers, emerging artists. As great as it is to see those guys who are much more recognized and established, I think that would be an interesting way to see the Jameel Prize go in the next few years.
And Chris, perhaps you could just summarize this year's event for us then, and how it might compare to both past and going forward as well. I mean, when we're at these sorts of artistic competitions, there's always a bit of chatter inside and outside about how things compare and whether this year's event really lived up to expectations and how it compared to past events. What do you think the feeling has been? Was there a feeling of excitement? Are people really anticipating the next event now as well?
Well, there was a massive crowd on opening night at the Pera Museum, which shows, first of all, how it really got Istanbul's art scene talking and drew people to that event. But in terms of sort of past, you know, examples of this show and how it's played out in the past before, I would say that, you know, what's interesting is that this has only been going since 2009. So we're still only in the fourth edition of this prize, and prizes do take some time to gain their identity and find out where they are and what they want to be. And I think I've seen several editions of this before in the past, and I think that with this one, as I've mentioned throughout, I think it's exciting because if a prize is revealing to you names you didn't know already and is giving those names an opportunity to really establish themselves, not just in a sort of exhibit celebratory sense, but also some money to really get going, to really, you know, Ghulam is working out of a studio. You know, he mentions before talking about how hot it is, about the fact that, you know, it's quite uncomfortable work where he is. So hopefully this prize should give him some opportunities to get a studio that's more comfortable for his work, allow him to work more bigger projects possibly in the future. So that kind of basis, I think, is very important and very interesting. In terms of past editions, as I say, this is still looking for its identity, and I'd love to see how this unfolds over the next few editions.
Indeed. Best of luck to Ghulam Mohammed. Steering clear of the air conditioning, of course. Chris Lord, thank you very much for joining us today from our air-conditioned Istanbul Bureau. The Pera Museum in Istanbul will present an exhibition of works by the winner, Ghulam Mohammed, and the 10 other artists shortlisted until the 14th of August 2016. It's then set to tour, though dates and venues are to be confirmed. You have been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Ryland. The show was produced by Holly Fisher and researched by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow for an Australian music review with Miff Warhurst. But for now, from me, Ben Ryland, thanks for listening. Bye for now.